morning, everyone. We'd like to welcome you to our meeting today. This is a meeting of the Roofing Technical Advisory Committee. Today is May the 22nd of 2020. It is 10:01 a.m. Let's start by doing our roll call. Please answer by saying here. Brian Swope.
Here.
Bob Boyer.
Here.
Mark Zainal.
Here.
Demi Buckner.
Here.
Boris Ebersol.
Here.
Bill Schultz.
Here.
Lorraine Ross. Karen Worst.
Here.
Richard Goff.
Here.
Bert Logan. And Gaspar Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Thank you. We do have a quorum. Next, we would like for our TAC members to approve the agenda as posted if there are no changes.
Motion to approve, Boyer.
Second, Jimmy Buckner.
We have a first and a second. All those in favor of the agenda, please vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Next, we'd like to approve the previous minutes of March 24th, 2020, if there are no corrections or changes necessary.
Motion to approve the minutes. Boyer.
Second, Jimmy Buckner.
Thank you. All those in favor, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Our subject matter for today, we would like to consider and discuss DEC Statement 2020-022 by Edward C. Baidu of CEBB Engineering and Testing. We have Mr. Baidu on the line. Anyone representing the establishment? Hearing none. Mo, would you like to present the DEC statement? Mr. Madonna, are you on the line?
Can you hear me? Oh.
We hear you now, Mo. Go ahead.
All right. Anyway, you can hear me. All right. We'll, as you see on the agenda, we have posted the staff analysis for D2020-022. And I hope you have a chance to review it in more details because when I go through it, I'm not going to touch on everything, but I'm going to bring issues that I use to mainly reach to the answers that's presented in this document. There is page numbering, so I will refer to the page number where I am and so on. also, to your attention, the petitioner did submit additional information to clarify the roof structure and whether we're dealing with roof sections or not. So he did provide that information based on request from staff. The issue of this particular statement is stated in the top, in page one, which says that the petitioner is really asking a clarification with regard to whether existing roofing component that does not have current product approval and needs to be detached or reset needs to be subjected to the requirement of the 25% rule and whether used concrete tiles can be used for repair without having current product approval. Angie asked Mindy two specific questions, which we can go through those at the end. The background, what really the petitioner has provided, the main thing is that he's telling us under project information is that this is a residential complex, two-story multifamily residence, and it's located in the Tri-County area. And the issue here is that a roof damage to an existing roof covering, and it's a tile roof, and the damage took place during Hurricane Irma. And he gave us really, with regard to this the multifamily dwelling, and he gave us the area of the section damaged, and so on. So he starts with, for example, section A, B, and F, and G, and H, totaling 114 square feet, and for 8% damage. But then, as he continues, he given us the percentage, he also talks about those and the percentage of roof tiles to be removed. They're undamaged, but it needs to be removed in order to do repair. And he talks about, for example, section A, B, and F, and G, and H. He's talking about you need to remove an additional 63%. He's doing 8%, but we need to remove 63%, and so on. So, ultimately, he's ending with, for a number of roof sections, for example, A, B, and F, G, and H, where the total of, percentage of roof should be reported to 70% after adding those tiles that you need to be removed, although it's not damaged, need to be removed to do the repair. And he is then saying it shall be noted that the very same section 502 repair, 502.3 related work does not allow now that the repair area to be part of the 25% rule as outlined by section 706, paragraph 706.1.1. There's a number of definitions I gave you with regard to what is, when we say re-roofing, what do you mean by that? The process of recovering or replacing an existing roof covering. We also give you a definition of the repair, which is mainly restoring or maintaining a roof covering in this case. And also there is a, you know, definition for substantial structural damage, which is, we don't want to go into here. Now, the issue here is now with the code for existing buildings, you start with Chapter 5, Classification of Work, and when you go, and you go to Chapter 5, under Section 502.3, which is the subject of discussion, the related work. It says work on undamaged component that is necessary for the required repair of a damaged component shall be considered part of the repair and shall not be subject to the provision of Chapter 7, 8, 9, and 11. So it says here, yeah, you know, really it's what it's saying is that whatever you need to remove, especially if you're trying to repair a certain area, that's really where you have file damage. Whatever you need to remove in order to do that, which is really you're talking about for doing the repair from the undamaged component, those undamaged components should not be required to meet Chapter 7 or 8 or 9 or 10. So Chapter 7, when you go to Chapter 7, for example, is going to require that replacement of roof material has to meet the requirement for a new construction. So he says, really, you need to always consider undamaged component that's to be moved to be a repair where it could be reinstalled. That's really what this section says. What's really makes it more confusing also, if you read section 502.2 application, it says repair shall comply with the provision of Chapter 6. But But then it says re-roofing shall comply with the provision of Section 706. Re-roofing, when you read the definition for re-roofing, talks about replacement. It doesn't talk about repair. So as you go through this and the definitions and everything, the one thing that under section, normally with damaged tiles or damaged roof, is considered to be a repair. So you go to chapter 6 of repair and then you go to section 606.2 of care to damaged building. It says repair to damaged building shall comply with this section and section 706 to re-roofing. So it is additional things that we add to repair to chapter 706 also exist in chapter 6, which deals with repairing to damaged building. So as the code continues, and then you got, if you, in section 706.1, which is really chapter 7, alteration level 1, and where is mitigation requirement for roofing exists, under section 706.1 says not more than 25% of the total area for roof of any building or structure shall be repaired, replaced, or recovered in any 12-month period unless the entire existing roofing system or roof section is replaced to conform to the requirements of this code. So the issue here is really is how to treat the undamaged tile you have removed to be able to fix the damaged area. Question is, do you include those as part of the 25% or not? As I pointed out, chapter 5 says you don't really apply chapter 7. So that's really the guts of this declaratory statement. You read chapter 7, the 706.5, it says reinstallation of material, the existing static clay or cement tile shall be permitted for reinstallation. The other thing, under the 2020 code, we clarified this section under 706.5, reinstallation or reuse of material, which is existing or slatted or salvaged slat, clay, or concrete tile shall be permitted for reinstall or reuse to repair an existing slab or tile roof. So, and the other thing is that I think really in this petition there was reference to other sections of the code, like chapter 15 or so on. I need to make sure and that the chapter 1 of the Florida Building Code building, which is administrative chapter, tell us that existing building, you have to go to shoot the code for existing building. That's where we help our discussion and conclusion should be from, is that code for existing building. So as you continue, as you see the code is within itself, it's trying to bring in certain things that seem to confuse the matter. To me, as a staff, it's really the way I look at it is that you're scoping. You have to look at first at chapter 5, which provides the scoping. In this case, under that chapter 5, it does talk about 502.3, and it talks about those tile that is you need to remove or needed to be removed to that's undamaged to do the repair. And it says those, chapter 6, chapter 7 does not apply to them. So based on all that, staff, the questions that being asked and the staff analysis, question number one, do the existing roofing components need to be detached or reset? And it refers to section 503. And the staff have current valid approval, 1521, need to be subjected to the requirements of the 25% rule as set forth I provided an answer to this question. Option one, petitioner respectfully believes that the answer to the question is yes. Then a reverse system rules based on the interpretation of section 502, reverse 502.3 related work is a clear conflict with the definition of the rule as simply 1502 when it comes to the performance requirement 502.1, whether protection and resistance to design load 1502. Option number two, step. The answer to the petitioner's question is no. As per section 502.3 of the 6th edition 2017 Florida Building Code, existing building work on undamaged component that is necessary for the required repair of damaged components for the project in question is not subject to the requirement of Chapter 7 Operation Level 1, including the requirements of the 25% as set forth in Section 706.1.1 of the 6th edition 2017 Florida Building Code, existing building. Question number two. Can a roof concrete pile found in a boneyard, scrapyard without having a current valid state of Florida product approval or Miami-Dade County product approval be used for the repairs? I could not answer this question with yes or no, because really product approval as it relates to Miami-Dade and the state product approval is not a requirement of the code. The code requires that the tile if it's going to be used for new construction, it has to meet or demonstrate compliance with the code. Sure, the means will be product approval, but that's not really limited to state or local or Miami-Dade. The building official locally can approve roof tiles if the right information is provided to them. So, the option number one, the petitioner provided an answer to this question. Petitioner respectfully believes that the answer to the question above is no. If the answer is yes, then said repair is a clear violation of Section 1521 of the 2000 Florida Building Code. Option number two, which is the staff, for the project in question, and as per Section 104.9.1, used material and equipment of the 6th edition 2017 Florida Building Code building, used salvaged roof concrete tile that meets the requirements of the current code for new materials are permitted to be used for the repair in question. However, the use of a set used salvaged concrete tile is subject to approval by the building official. Thank you, guys. Any questions on the staff analysis? I'll be glad to answer. Thank you.
Thank you, Mo. Real quick before we go to questions, for the benefit of our recording, I'm Arlita Peters, and I'm going to help facilitate the meeting today, and we'd like to introduce staff. We do have Robert Bimbo, Chris Howell, Jim Hammers, and Mo McKinney on the line. Are there any other staff that would like to be recognized for the recording?
Justin Vogel here.
Thank you. Anyone else? Do we have any guests on the line that would like to be recognized for the recording?
David Compton.
Good morning,
David Compton.
Joe Belcher.
Andrew
Levinstein. Edward Badillo.
I got Andrew Levinstein.
Brad Schiffer.
Amanda Hickman.
John Kenny.
Stephen Bush.
Stephen Bush?
Yes.
You're representing the petitioner, correct, Mr. Bush?
Correct.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Bobby Baker.
Bobby Baker.
Jamie Gascon.
Hi, Jamie.
Gibson Jones.
Gibson Jones. Anyone else? Mr. Bush, very quickly, you didn't respond when we first asked. Do you have any quick comments before we go to the TAC for questions?
I do not, but Mr. Badeau is on the call, and I believe he has some.
Very quickly, Mr. Badeau.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, listing members. Happy Friday as well.
Thank you. Good morning.
The questions, I mean, I'm here to answer questions, so it seems. I don't have questions. I'm appearing in front of you folks for trying to get the Florida Building Commission to ascertain as to whether or not the answers, as I believe they should be, whether or not you agree with me or not.
Thank you. Does that conclude your comments, Mr. Badeau?
I believe so. I'm obviously waiting for additional questions from you and the rest of the members and Mr. Chairman.
Okay. TAC members, do you have any clarifying questions for either Mr. Badeau or Mr. Madani?
Gaspar does.
Go ahead.
It's more a question. It's not so much a question. It's I disagree with the interpretation that both the petitioner and staff give to 502.3 related work.
Yes, Barbara, right now, let's don't get into the details yet until it's back to the TAC. Just if you have any clarifying questions, real quick.
Marlita?
Yes.
Marlita, it's Mark Zainal.
Hi,
Mark. Hi. I'm just curious, is there some type of a denial from the building official or something that this would come to us, that they haven't, that they denied you a permit or something? I'm just curious why it came here.
Is that a question for Mr. Bell?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Yes, we did reach out to the chief building official for clarification, and when asked as to whether or not that pertains, he answered yes to the first question as to the applicability of the 25% rule. However, when approached to clarify whether or not the tile from an existing boneyard or scrapyard could be used, his original question was, yes, it could be used. However, when subsequently I had follow-up emails with him and requested that he clarifies how then the applicability of the 1521 falls under that, the use of this out of product approval roofing materials, I had never received an email from John. So that's led us to come to you for clarification.
This is Mo Madani. Before we go forward, because I think to clarify what, because my discussion with you earlier when you submitted the request for a declaratory statement is that no plans or interpretation were issued by the building official on this project. That is really, this is in the design. This is not, this is in the design stage, and it's not reviewed by the local jurisdiction. Because if that's the case, the building.
Something paperwork, though.
Huh?
Tim, could you mute everyone, and let's just get Mo back on the line, please, so we can hear him.
Marlita.
Am I okay?
You're good now. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to make sure you understand that, you know, I made sure when we discussed this project that this is not something that or it's been expressed by the local jurisdiction, the building official. Thank you.
So, Marley, that's Mark Zanel.
Go ahead, Mark. One moment. Mr. Campbell, were you trying to speak?
No, I'm fine.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Zanel.
The other question I have is, if I'm not mistaken, 1521 is only applicable to Miami-Dade and Broward counties. This is in Palm Beach County, right?
Mr. Bedell or Mr. Bush, could you answer that question?
Yes, that is correct. It's a correct answer. It is in Palm Beach County.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you have any further questions, Mark?
No, I'm just clarifying that first of all, the building department and then the where it's actually located. Thank you.
Thank you. TAC members, do you have any other clarifying questions for either party or for Mr. Badani?
Yeah, Marlita, it's Brian. I've got a question to kind of follow up on Mark. Is this something that was denied by the building department, or is this in the planning stages where we see, you know, 30 broken tile and we're anticipating 30% tile breakage, you know, treating the 25% rule, or was it denied by the building department?
Mr. Bedell?
But no, we are in the process and attempting to obtain a permit where upon calculation by our office to the coexisting current damages on every single roof section, and then given the method of installation, which is two fasteners per tile, the additional calculated damages for each roof section would exceed the 25%. And that's why we fall back into the question one of the petition, since we are allowed to, that portion of the undamaged materials that are needed to be detached and reset in order to produce the repairs, given once again the method of installation, which is mechanically attachment with two fasteners, will actually cause that percentage to exceed the 25% rule, which on the backside then shall be or shall not be subjected to the requirements of 70611.
Thank you, Mr. Bedell.
Thank you.
Any other TAC members with clarifying questions?
Yes, Marley, this is Rick Goff. I have a question for Chairman Bryan, if I don't put him on the spot. As a roofing contractor, does it seem reasonable that eight times the amount of the damaged area needs to be removed and then replaced in order to do a repair on a tile roof? Calculations in about eight.
Usually that one gets kind of tricky. If this tile system had been mudded on or foamed on, maybe. A mechanically fastened system, and I know you got two fasteners per tile. I don't see why, in the, you know, out of my personal, you know, opinion here, why, you know, 30 broken tile sporadically placed on a mechanically fastened tile system constitutes replacing 30% of the tile. Like I said, if it was a mud on system or a foamed on system, you might have some breakage on removal. I don't see needing to replace that many broken or that many usable tile, non-broken tile, to replace 30 broken tile. That's kind of what my question was, as far as did the building official turn this down, or was there a permit applied for, or are we using this process to trigger something?
It seems like eight times the square footage area is I'm not a roofing contractor. We do roofing, but I'm not a contractor. It seemed like it was a little extraordinary.
Any other tax members?
If I may answer the question to Jimmy Buckner.
Sir. One moment, Mr. Bedell. We'll come to you in a moment. Mr. Buckner?
Yes, I've just got a question of the applicant, something that's fairly common I run into in reference to question two. I want to know if the applicant is, aware that a optional Florida PROC approval for the non-HVAZ or the HVAZ is optional. You do not have to have an optional Florida PROC approval or an official NOA for any specific project. The Florida statute allows for a local product approval. So that is the path, and then the code requires the applicant to demonstrate, not for the building department to design. So that is the option when you get into things that are a little bit out of the ordinary. So the question is, do you have to have the staff answer the question? No, you do not have to have an optional Florida PROC approval for Palm Beach County. You do have to have either a local approval that has to go through the process, and the administrative process is up to each jurisdiction. So, and then the applicant, and this is a design professional, looks at the code. If you're getting some replacement tile or this, that, or the other, is to go through and put it in the specific design, and it needs to meet the requirements of the code. Yes, it absolutely needs to meet the code, but there's more than one path to that. So, just for the staff, I think, your answer is good. And sometimes is to let that out. I find that is not widely known, if there is a path for optional product approval. It's kind of a custom design for each job, but just for education for people that might see this, is to kind of point out that the statute does provide for local or the optional state approval. And so, if that would help clarify that question. And then also we get back into the question one. When you get in these areas and this replacement, yes, each job needs to be advocated by the applicant. Then the building department can reply, and then if it needs to come to us, and we do have these common questions on the 25%, but I think staff did a good job on their answers. Thank you.
Thank you, Jimmy. Okay, TAC members, any further clarifying questions?
Marlene, I got one more question here. Yes, ma'am. I'm trying to figure this one out based off the way the questions were written. To the petitioner, do you have, let me try and phrase this the right way. Do you have a boneyard, if you will, that has X amount of tile that you need for the repair and you're trying to see if you can use those, or you can't find something with a profile or to fix those and we're expanding it because of that?
Mr. Bedell?
Brian, no, I do not have a local boneyard. The tile, we have already evidence that the tile had been discontinued since the original installation about 19 years ago. And to my knowledge, there is no scrap yard or boneyard that has the tile available. And as a second thought, I was trying to get to answer another point made earlier. I don't remember who made a comment at this point, honestly. As to the gentleman that was one of the TAC members, the roofing contractor, as to why we have to remove eight times, because this is a staggered installation with two fasteners. In order to pry the fasteners out from each damaged tile, it will require, it's almost like a domino effect. By the time we use a pry bar to pry these fasteners out from the underside of the two tiles up the slope, it will cause damage. It will also exert that additional pressure on the undamaged tiles and their fasteners, exposing them in additional bending where they're not supposed to be in bending. So this, it's almost like inverted triangle. The more you try to save, the more you put damage. In addition to the fact that we're using sharp tools to remove fasteners, and at the end, on the backside, we have to go and try to seal all these fasteners penetrations as we go up the slope based on this. And although the number seems slightly high, eight times more, that's about right. I have done it countless of times as you know, calculation-wise, and as unfortunate as it is, in a mechanically attached system, no roofing contractor will take that task to repair this roof, number one. In addition to the fact that we are unable to locate tiles, and we are going to add more damage to undamaged product, existing product, roofing product on a roof before we can repair those tiles. That, yes, we have, let's say, 8% tiles, but at the end of the day, once we start repairing this properly, and I have a roofing license as well, and I sit on the construction industry licensing board, and that repair is not feasible.
Thank you, Mr. Bedell. If TAC members have no further questions.
I have a question.
Mr. Vogel, go ahead, please.
Jeff Vogel, the commission's attorney. I wanted to follow up on a question that was asked, I think, by Mr. Madani as well as Commissioner Swope about where this project is sort of procedurally. So Mr. Bedell, has there been an interpretation that's been given to you by the local building official in an official capacity? Are you appealing some kind of interpretation that they have provided to you?
Mr. Vogel, I think I touched part of the answer a little bit earlier on when I had explained that, yes, I did reach out to the chief building official to clarify at least the question one when it comes down to the as to whether or not the 25% rule is applicable in Palm Beach County, and the answer was yes. When it came down to the applicability of a product approval, his original answer was, yes, we could allow a repair with, it's a lot of background noise there, allow for repair with an existing undamaged tile if available in a scrapyard and boneyard. However, when I had a follow-up question for the chief building official, the answer never came for about almost 3 months now. And the question was, how then, in fact, if we use a scrapyard, assuming that it's available, the product is available, how would that then the use of such tile without any type of a product approval and consequently an obsolete tile would not conflict with the section 1521? And he never answered. So I know there was another question earlier on as to, well, that shouldn't apply because it's in Palm Beach. Yet Palm Beach selectively, Palm Beach County, it's on its own, but a lot of the applicability of the high velocity hurricane zone testing protocols, as we know, are mandatory in Palm Beach County. So I never received an answer, Mr. Vogel.
All right. Thank you for that. And the reason I'm asking is because the TAC is well aware and I think staff is aware that there are two different procedures for requesting interpretations of the Florida Building Code. And in cases where there has already been a decision that has been rendered by a local building official, there's a process for requesting a binding interpretation essentially to review what they have ruled on the code, and that is separate and different from the declaratory statement petition that you have right now. A declaratory statement cannot be issued when the action has already occurred, essentially, when you've already gone and sought and received an answer for your question. The commission doesn't have the ability to go and overrule that through this process. There's, like I said, there's a separate binding interpretation process, and in order to avail yourself of that, you have to go and appeal that decision locally first, and then you can submit that binding interpretation request. And so it sounds like from what you're describing to me, you may already have a local answer that was rendered for your first question, and it may not be appropriate for the commission to issue a declaratory statement on that particular question, but perhaps on the second one, the TAC would be able to make a recommendation and the commission would.
Respectfully, Mr. Vogel, to some degree I disagree with you, and here's why, because there was not really a full answer to the first question to begin with. The only answer that question that was answered by the building official was that yes, City of Boca Raton in that particular case does respect or does obey the 25% rule, which is not the complete answer to the question one. Because the section 502.3 allows this extra, as the earlier gentleman, the roofing contractor, has said, it's 8 times more than the existing damage. So the collateral damage, if I may say it like that, it will extend the amount or the percent of damage from, let's say, 8% to 63%. But the way the code says, once in 502.3, it says that such the requirements of Chapter 7, 8, and 9 do not apply. So that's the question really becomes, if we are allowed to remove or detach and reset or count detached and reset material as part of the repair, why then said additional damage is not part of the 25% rule?
Did they provide you with this opinion in writing, or did they reject a permit application?
No, we never got that far.
So did they just tell you this informally, like in sort of a preliminary discussion?
Correct, yes, sir.
There's been no official action that was taken by the local building official with respect to either of the questions that you're presenting?
No, sir. No more answers after I follow up with questions to the chief building official.
All right. Well, I mean, if that's the case, if we have nothing in writing, if you know this was a preliminary discussion and it was essentially non-binding, and then because I don't have a problem with the TAC moving forward if it makes sense as far as they feel, if they feel that this is procedurally all right. I don't fully follow the technical aspects of it, but
can I? This is Mark Zanel. Can I just make, maybe we need to hear from the building official and see what they say, because now we're going back and forth on something. It's a he said she said thing, and if the building official has an opinion on this, he can either tell us he does or he doesn't have it. And you know, if we stop this here and then just maybe go to a different date when we get some clarification on what's really happened.
In order to do that, the petitioner would have to agree to essentially waive the 90-day requirement for the commission to issue a response, because the commission has the statutory to answer it. But if the TAC feels that it would be more prudent to see if the local official did provide something, that's fine. As far as my legal opinion goes, I mean, if the petitioner is representing to the committee and to the commission that there's been no binding local opinion that it has been issued lawsuit, and that these were potentially preliminary discussions. I don't have strong opposition to the committee making a recommendation or the commission deciding on it. But if you wanted to request that the petitioner either waive their 90-day sort of right to a deck statement, or have the committee recommend denial based on what they in this meeting today, I would be fine with that.
Justin, would it be appropriate to ask if we have anyone from the jurisdiction on the line, either Boca Raton, Palm Beach County?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there anyone representing Boca Raton or Palm Beach County listening in that would like to respond? Hearing none. Justin, do you have any further comments?
This is Jimmy Buckner. The applicant has said that a permit application and a demonstration of compliance as required in Chapter 1 has not been submitted. Only preliminary questions. So, yes, I'm of the opinion that we're ahead of the game here. The applicant is required to submit a application and demonstration of code compliance. And that hasn't been done. So the building department cannot give a detailed answer if they don't have a detailed app. And secondly, the question was, can you use a tile from a scrap pile? And the applicant asked the building department that. Well, no, there was no submittal of evidence that a tile met the requirements. I have gotten Miami-Dade product approval for a single job for reclaimed tile from chateaus 100 years old in Europe. Well, what it required was doing the testing and submitting documents showing that tile met, some standards. So the applicant has to submit evidence that we got this product here is how we're demonstrating with rational analysis or a test. So we're answering questions that are ahead of the actual permit application and a formal response from the building department. So we're just answering, we're kind of in the what if category. And I think, yes, that maybe this deck statement is a little ahead of the curve, that they need to go back and run it through, and then if it's not an agreement, it comes to us for clarification. So that's my opinion. Thank you.
Okay, is there anyone from the general public that needed or wants to make a comment or ask a question before we go back for discussion?
Arlita, this is Tim Silvers with FRSA. I'm sorry, but I was muted when you did the second roll call. But yes, a couple of things that I'd like to inject, if I may. One of the definitions that has been left out is the definition of a roof section. Roof section is a separation or division of a roof area by existing joint parapet walls, flashing, excluding valleys, difference of elevation, excluding hips and ridges, roof type or legal description, not including the roof area required for a proper tie-off with an existing system. That is the definition of a roof section, and I'm not sure that the information provided for the particular job is pertinent to the two questions, but if in fact it is, it's clear that sections A, B, H, G, and F are one roof section, and arguably C, D, and E are, because they're divided by what we refer to as a dead valley. We generally agree with staff's interpretation, with exception of the section that refers to 104.9.1 in the staff's answer to question number 2. And we actually think that 602.1 of the existing building code under building elements and materials is probably more pertinent. It says 602.1, existing building materials. Materials already in use in a building in compliance with requirements or approvals in effect at the time of their erection or installation shall be permitted to remain in use unless determined by the code official to render the building or structure unsafe or dangerous as defined in Chapter 2. And we think that that's probably more pertinent, but otherwise agree with the staff's position and answers to the two questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else from the public with comments or questions?
Fernandez, Miami-Dade County.
And who is this, please? Jamie?
Jamie Fernandez, Miami-Dade County.
Thank you, Fernandez. Go ahead.
Yes, I just want to just inject this, that I've been hearing that the section of the code that is being questioned here is a high velocity hurricane zone code, and the job is going to be in West Palm Beach. This is not applicable by code in West Palm Beach. If locally someone's doing something else, and you know, they can pick whatever they want from the code and apply certain parts, I don't know how they can manage that. But the point here is that the definition of high velocity hurricane zone clearly in the building code says that it's only applicable for Broward and Dade. So now decisions have been made by someone else outside Dade and Broward will be affecting whatever we do here, positive or negative. I'm not questioning, you know, the answer to this question that there was there. The only thing is that I strongly believe that they're using their own code for this interpretation, because the area in which they are going to do this job is a non-high velocity hurricane zone. So that's something that I just want to put on record that, you know, technically, you know, since the inception of the building code, all the municipalities, all the counties were to choose if they wanted to join the section of the high velocity. And at that time, it was only Dade and Broward County who did it. So right now, I think this is not the proper section of the code to be interpreted in West Palm Beach. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else with comments from the general public?
David Compton.
Go ahead, David.
Again, first off, I want to make a comment to the repairs. Mr. Badeau had mentioned that a large area is required. And spot repairs on mechanically fashioned tiles are done all the time. You can drive anywhere in the state of Florida and see spot repairs for tiles. As far as related work, related work is clearly defined in the code, and it clearly excludes Chapter 7, which has a 25% rule. So if we're working on non-damaged components, facilitate the repair of damage, that does not become part of the 25% rule. It's clearly defined in there. As far as his second question, and this was just brought up, you know, in Chapter 602.1, about the existing building materials, which he just quoted, but also 602.2, new replacement materials, except as otherwise permitted by this code, materials permitted by the document of construction shall be used. Like materials shall be permitted for repairs and alterations provided no dangerous or unsafe conditions as defined in Chapter 2 is created. So the code is very clear this tile and related work is clearly defined in here. So I agree with staff's answers as far as this. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else from the public? Moving on to the TAC now. We will close outside discussion. TAC members. Up to you for a discussion and or a motion.
I think Gaspar wanted to speak on one thing.
Go ahead, Gaspar.
Okay, again, Commissioner Compton also seems to be looking at 502.3 and saying that anything in Chapter 7, 8, 9 is excluded. 502.3 is related work, incidental work, sometimes we consider it. And it's strict, and it's specific in that undamaged components that is necessary for the required repair of damaged components shall be considered part of the repair. It shall be considered part of the repair. Now, again, the way they wrote it then, they said, and shall not be subject to these other chapters. They could have wrote it, the code writers could have written it, and all this work will be subject to Chapter 6, repairs. Just as 502.2 is, repairs shall comply with provision Chapter 6 of the Florida Building Existing Code. Now, If you go to chapter 6, the very first sentence, the very first, it's the scope of repairs is, repairs as described in section 502 shall comply with the requirements of this chapter and the provisions of section 706. It's always been our intent that if you're repairing over 25% of the roof, you need to replace the roof. The building, and again, I'm not talking much about, we don't want to get to the building official's decision or whatever, his opinion or whatever. He ended up saying the 25% rule applied. And again, I would want to know from the petitioner, if the 25 rule applies, you have to replace the roof. There's no issue. There's no discussion about whether the tile doesn't have a current NOA. And again, I just wanted to bring that up. Most of the people seem to agree with staff. I just think 502.3 is general when it excludes 7, 8, 9, 10. Repairs have to be done in accordance with Chapter 6. Chapter 6 is very specific that you must go to check for roofing. You need to go to 706. And, I mean, we can discuss that. And again, I'll be able to defend 1521.2 later on.
This is Mohammed Ghani. If it's okay with through that chair, just to say something. I know with regard to what has been stated, is it okay to go ahead?
Go ahead, Mom.
All right. I think really the fact, when I look at this, you know, it was a difficult question. To answer, because the code, as you read the code kind of consists of different things that we have inserted into it throughout the years. So I don't fault anybody being confused. However, I think, you know, when you read the code, you need to take it with the fact how these chapters are structured. When you go to chapter 5, it's the scoping. The scoping is that, it talks about section 502.3. It says, it talks about those things that we need to remove in order to do the repair. They are not damaged elements. We cannot remove, but we allow to put them back. So that's really the undamaged component. As you go in chapter 6 and other chapters, there's none of these chapters talks about the undamaged component. The only thing that talks about the undamaged component is 502.3. So by inserting the language in chapter 6 about section 706, that does not take away the scope. That's really where, I think what Gasper's saying. But to me, it's really kind of, you have to take them in isolation. And it seems like with regard to the undamaged component, 502.3 is very specific that you should always treat it as a repair so that you'll be able to put them back. You know, otherwise, you're going to end with, for instance, you have to replace the whole rule with a new rule every time. So. Anyway, thank you.
Back members, any further questions? Or
yeah, this is Mark Zane.
Go ahead.
I'm still struggling with the fact that the building department isn't engaged in this. Because now, we're, like Jimmy said, we're making decisions and assumptions based upon some documentation we have. We have no pictures. We have no complete information on what we're actually going to make a determination on. I mean, I understand I'm looking at a picture with a diagram on it. I don't know that that's true. And no offense to the applicant, but to me the building department is the key to protecting the community and interpreting the code. We're just making judgments here based on, I didn't think that's the way the TAC worked. I thought there needed to be some reason to bring this here. what's the reason this is being brought here? They're asking our opinion on something that should be done at a local level. So I'm really in disagreement that we should even be listening to this until the building official says, no, this is wrong or this is right. Because otherwise, other people are going to do the same thing over and over again.
Hey, Mark, this is Mark Danny. I just need to respond to this because we have done so many declaratory statements. And first of all, we hire that the building department to provide any feedback or discussion on a project, a future project. So these declaratory statements are meant to be addressed by the future. We make sure that such projects are not in the hand of the local jurisdiction, because we don't want to get into situations where it'll become an appeal situation where you have to go through the binding interpretation process. So I think, first of all, we don't require the projects to already have gone through the local jurisdictions, or the building officials have already issued the interpretation on it. Otherwise, you know, if we do, then it's a very first statement out of the window. You cannot issue a declaratory statement for the future project. I think that's for the future.
So then, you know, the information that we're getting from the petitioner, the percentages and all that, are based upon what they believe is to be true. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. Well, I'm not questioning, you know, what the code is saying. And my issue is with knowing what we're actually talking about. We've got people weighing in from different areas. We got codes coming from, you know, from the high velocity hurricane zone that don't apply to this particular county, even though their building official or their building departments may have adopted some ordinances to achieve higher ratings or whatever in their code. That's not what we're here to discuss. You know, it's the applicability of the building code to whatever their particular issue is. You know, going back to the roof section interpretation that was included into the code to be able to give definition to that, to the 25% rule. There, so shows the connection of what an actual roof section is. So if you're looking at roof sections, then, you know, that changes the perspective. So you have a larger area, so your percentages actually shrink. That's for them to be able to get a building permit, and that comes from the local department, not from us. I just think we're, like Jimmy said, ahead of the game. Sorry, my thoughts.
This is Bob Hoyer. I would also agree with everything Mark said. You know, it seems like we're ahead of the game here. There's a whole bunch of unanswered questions in my mind on this. You know, I tried to reach out to folks at Boca, but nobody's picking up. So I'm just curious. I just think we're ahead of the game. That's my comments.
This is George Ebersold. I agree with what Mark just said and Mr. Boyer.
Justin, it's Brian here. What are our two options? We either the petitioner agrees to an extension or to waive the 90-day rule, or we vote this down. Is there any way to table this to get more information?
Commissioner Swope, this is Justin Vogel, Commission's attorney. No, there's no way to sort of table it without essentially the acquiescence of the petitioner. I mean, though, given the option that they would have, if the TAC feels that it needs more information in order to interpret these questions, then it's perfectly fine for the TAC to request that information, or if the petitioner is not willing to waive the 90 days that they have to receive their answer, then to just essentially to decline to answer the declaratory statement on the grounds that the TAC doesn't have sufficient information to issue an answer. I guess those would be the two options.
Well, likewise, Justin, who would reach out to the building department?
Well, it's the duty of the petitioner to provide the information. And I guess, from a technical point of view, the tax should make very clear to the petitioner what information it feels it needs in order to answer the question. And I just wanted to make clear that it's perfectly all right for any petitioner to request an interpretation of the code, you know, in advance. As a matter of fact, that's why I was asking earlier. It has to be prospective in nature. And so this shouldn't be an issue with this sort of being asked in advance of the project or the beginning. It should be, if there's any issue that the TAC has, it should really be revolving around sort of the amount of information or the type of information that's been provided up to this point.
Brian, do you have a direction you want the TAC to go in?
Well, to be honest with you, I think that it's pretty clear that everybody on the TAC need more information. Don't know if you want to take a list of TAC members questions on the call now, this way, or have them emailed them to you, Marlena. But I think at this point in time, I don't get the feeling that the TAC is ready to make a decision on this.
You do or do not?
I do not. Just based off the questions that are out there, the unknowns.
Okay. Mr. Bedeau, that leads us to you asking if you would be willing to forgo the 90 days for an answer.
Before I give you that answer, I would like to add something and piggyback on what Gaspar Rodriguez said a little earlier on. And this is all a prospective job outcome, same as Justin had said. And the reality is the interpretation of 502.3 going through the section 606.2 that strictly immediately leads to section 706. And it's all related in a sense that if the damage, additional damage, is allowed to be considered part of a repair, then why then the 25% rule doesn't apply for the portion that's undamaged. I don't know if I could get Stephen Bush to advise me on a legal part of whether or not to forego the 90 days. I think we should, but because I don't want it to have it a no vote from you guys, but I'd like you to think it once again based on what Gaspar has added on a little earlier on this morning.
Do you want one moment to confer with your attorney, sir? We need an answer to the question before they can go forward.
I have no problem foregoing the 90-day, Edward, if you feel that that's...
I'm fine then, so let's do that. Unless I can sway you folks to change your mind and approve it, but it doesn't look like that.
Thank you. Now, back to the TAC members only. For a motion or for direction, request
this is long.
Delay for 90 days.
I think really, first of all, we need to make sure that does the petitioner have enough information in terms of what additional information is needed to mainly postpone the consideration, the statutory statement. One thing, I know we can provide the recording available to him, but does he need any specific additional information if that's the route we're going to go? So we need to make sure that we have a clear definition of what really additional information is needed if we need to. All right, thank you.
Hey, Mom.
Go ahead.
Campbell. I was wondering if it might make sense to allow the members of the TAC to submit their additional questions in writing to staff in the next few days, and then we could look at perhaps setting another TAC meeting to go through the questions to make sure the TAC is all on the same page. And then we can provide that information to the petitioner. What do you think about that?
I don't have any kind of problem. If as long as we moving forward, we can get the actual information. So that it's the questions, yeah, it's fine. That's good. No problem.
Mr. Campbell, would you want to give the petitioner time to answer or get information from the building department prior to that next TAC meeting?
Well, I think the next TAC meeting would revolve around just what the additional questions are and what information the TAC thinks it needs. And once we can get that all cleared up, then we would give that information or those requests to the petitioner, and he can go and gather that information and then resubmit his petition to staff, and we'll get it in front of the TAC then, all with the additional information.
Staff will work with the petitioner and I don't see anything. If there is questions out there, sure, we want to hear it.
If I may, this is Edward Badiou again, before we go any further.
Mr. Badiou, a moment. It's with the TAC right now, so one moment, please, unless the chairman wants to hear from you.
Sorry.
Mr. Campbell, you have further comments?
Commissioner Swope, what do you think about that?
I don't have a problem with that at all. I think we need just, in fairness to the petitioner, as far as tracking his information down, we need to probably put a week, 10 days, for TAC members to get their questions in.
Okay.
I think it'd probably be even sooner than that, just based off of the questions that are, being produced on this call, which are great, by the way. I've personally have flip-flopped about 13. Every time I read this, I flip-flop on it. So whatever questions that can be answered for the most information out there would be great. I don't know. You guys know timelines better than I do as far as getting these things better, as far as statutes and all. So yeah. I would think that, the holiday weekend, a week, 10 days should be sufficient to get questions in.
All right, staff can reach out to the members of the TAC to get the additional information. Will Tateman will take a look at it, then we'll get with you, and we'll see if we want to set up another meeting to go through the questions, or if we just want to send them to the petitioner as we receive them. So I think that's a good next step is to solicit the questions, and then we can circle up again in a week and see what things are looking like.
Thank you, Brian. Is that acceptable?
I'm good with
that. All right, then. So do we need a motion at this time to table it? Justin?
Yes, Marlita, I think it would probably be wise to have Commissioner Swope make a motion to defer this in order to provide further clarifying questions to the petitioner.
If I'm allowed to, I'll make it. If not, I'll accept one.
That's fine. Go ahead.
Thank you. So, Brian, you said you would accept that as a motion. Do we have a second?
Second, Moyer.
Any further discussion on this motion to defer from the TAC members?
Mr. Chairman, this is Rick. Would it be prudent for us to request something in writing from the local inspection department in order to have something documented as to their viewpoint?
I don't think we need to do that right now. Let's just get the member, or let's just get the questions from the TAC at this point.
I think you'll have that as a question of the TAC members coming through, so that may be part of your question.
And we'll deal with it then.
Thank you.
Any further discussion, TAC members? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion to defer, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. If there's no other business to bring before the TAC at this time, any public comment? Any staff comment or any TAC member comment? Hearing none, let's do our final roll call. Please answer by saying here. Brian Swope?
Here.
Bob Moyer?
Here.
Mark Zanel?
Here.
Jimmy Buckner?
Here.
George Ebersole?
Here.
Bill Schultz? William Schultz? He's there. He's Lorraine Ross? Karen Warsak?
I'm here.
Richard Goff?
Here.
Bert Logan? Gaspar Rodriguez?
Here.
Thank you. We have ended the meeting with one less than we started. It is 11:17. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for a good discussion, good meeting, and have a good, happy Memorial Day weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You too.
Thank you, Marley. The same to you.